Happy Sunday. Good morning, Unity of Pompano Beach. Good morning, live streamers. Good morning, Facebook streamers. Here we go. Standing outside the door, love and mercy. You wonder if there's a place here for you. You know there's peace inside. Still you're searching for someone who understands the pain that you've been through.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks once again for coming on in to our empty sanctuary. But as our chaplain reminded us just a few moments when she called, we know that our congregation is still with us in love and with each other. Lawrence and I and the band look out, and we know where you regulars sit, and we see the rows over here, and who sat over here, and we remember each and every one of you. And thank you for remembering us and holding us all in love and light, and even with your prayer support, your financial support, just in general, your wonderful energy. So thank you. And those who are tuning in and just meeting us for the first time, welcome to this wonderful spiritual community that we call our spiritual home at Unity of Pompano Beach. So this morning, we've got our live streamers with us, and we say hello to you. And of course, all our live streamers seeing us live with our website stream. So the website address, if you're on Facebook, the website address is unitypompanobeach.org, where you will see our live stream all week long till it's overwritten next week. So come on in to take a look during the week. And on Facebook, we're also there, and past weeks are there as well. So Facebook is Unity of Pompano Spiritual Center. So if you haven't met me, I'm Bev Spivey. I co-minister here with my wonderful husband, Reverend Lawrence Palmer. And of course, we have our musicians who have been with us these many, many weeks now, and our gratitude to them under the direction of James McCoy.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. And we are very grateful to be here. We certainly are. You know, I was just thinking that I know it's a lot of fun to have your pancakes and your pajamas while you're watching us on live stream or on Facebook. I know that's a lot of fun. And I was thinking maybe once we're able to come together once again safely and everyone be here, I think to commemorate everyone being in their pajamas watching on live stream, they could come one Sunday a month. We could have Pajama Sunday and everybody just come in their pajamas, you know, just to commemorate what it is, the experience that you're having right now. So, having said that, we have Mr. John Rose at the piano and the keyboard this morning. And on the drums, we have Mr. Brian Lang. with us once again. And of course, we have Karina Iglesias, our featured soloist. And let's see, we have music from Cat Stevens, Sly and the Family Stone, Bob Dylan, and a woman called Monica Pasquale. There you go.
And we look forward to that, as usual. We're always so blessed by their professional quality in all their music. So as we begin today, we remember our yearly theme. Here we are halfway through the year, and it's perfect vision, seeing life through a spiritual lens. And as we look out at life as a spiritual seeker, as someone on a spiritual path, as someone who has interests in the realms of spirituality, sometimes we wonder, oh my gosh, how do we not let all of what's going on in life drag us down? And more importantly, how can we lift it up? Well, we can. We can look and we can acknowledge what we see is going on. We don't deny that. But we do deny that that has any power to take away good possibilities and good outcomes. So we continue to look at life through that spiritual lens all year long. And especially this month now, the month of June, our theme in June is well-being. And June started off with a real eye-opener for all of us as far as well-being goes. Most of us who live a comfortable life, and many of us white, realize that well-being does not mean the same for everybody. And we have a lot of people in our country who don't live a life of well-being. And as we've had that awakening within ourselves, we allow ourselves to be called to see what is ours to do and how we can work for the well-being of all people in the United States and also around the world. So taking those ideas in our mind, let's remember the affirmation that we have for the month. And I encourage you to say it many times throughout the day. My heart knows well-being no matter the circumstances. My heart knows well-being no matter the circumstances. Let's go to our heart space now as we have a few moments of prayer. As we learn to close our eyes and breathe, feel the breath going throughout our body, nurturing us, breathing us, living us. This power that we call the God within, the Spirit within, the Christ within, it is indeed the higher power of each and every one of us and the higher power of oneness, oneness in well-being. We affirm well-being and the possibilities of creating a brand new world with well-being blessed upon each and every person. And so it is. Amen. And let's see what the band has for us now.
Want to live high, live
Thank you, Cat Stevens, coming to us through the music of our musicians this morning. And once again, we welcome those who have found your way to the computer now or to your smartphone. And we give you a big greeting. Thanks for joining us today, whether you're on Facebook or with us live on the website. We want to remind everybody to please stay in touch with us. We love it. I get lots of fun out of looking at the cards and notes you send. Many of you are sending in your contributions, and we thank you so much for that. And you stick a little note with your check. We thank you for that. Roy even drove his up here. And we thank you for your presence in the parking lot. So thanks, everybody, for coming on in and being with us as a spiritual community. We encourage you to use the link that says prayer on our website. Again, if you're on Facebook, that's unitypompanobeach.org. That prayer link will connect you with our chaplains, and we have a wonderful team who is praying and has been throughout this entire, I think we're in 16 weeks now, of not meeting physically. And they are holding prayer each and every day for all of us, but especially for those who send in a prayer request. So please do that. There's also a contact link on our website where you may send in any questions you have or comments, just whatever. We'd love to hear from you. So take advantage of our website. We always encourage you, though, to keep us all in prayer every day, as you know, our unity style of positive prayer. So hold us all as we hold you, and onward we go. We've got some wonderful things coming up. Reverend Lawrence has decided to do another class, and this time he's taking us out of the box, he says. There is an ad for it on the website. I believe we're also, Susie has posted it on Facebook. Like everything we have going on right now, the meetings will be on Zoom. And for that, it's required that you click on the ad and register so that you get a secure link. This goes for anything that we're doing on Zoom. We do everything that way with registration. Now, Lawrence's class is just going to be $10. And there are four sessions. So we would ask, it just makes it easier bookkeeping, if you plan to attend when you register, go ahead and pay for all four sessions. There's a drop-down menu there where you can choose $40 for the whole series. Or you're welcome to pay 1 week at a time. He's going to address how we look at things as a hyper-human, not being hyperactive, but with hyper-energy, to come from the spirit within, to come from our higher selves. As we look at the first week, we'll be looking at stress. Second week, he'll be looking at illness. The third week, he will be looking at aging with us, and lastly, with death. So I know many of you enjoy Lawrence's teaching and his out-of-the-box approach to things in a very modern, scientific way, in addition to our spiritual depth. So please take advantage of that. It starts next Tuesday night, well, a week, July 7. It'll be the 4 weeks of July. And then we are continuing with the chaplains gifting us on Thursday nights with their weekly meditation. And there again, the ad is on the website and on Facebook. If you would click on the link and register, please, and you will get the address to come on in to that meditation time. It's free. It's on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, as Lawrence's class is on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. Starting in July, meditation has been ongoing these many, many weeks, and we will continue with that as our chaplains serve us in that way. And lastly, we continue on with Power Hour. And our group of Power Hour regulars tune in every Sunday morning at 9:30, led by Cynthia Roberts. And there again, you need a link to do that. We ask for a donation of $10 for Power Hour, but you certainly may come on in and experience that without the $10 payment. So we are attempting ways to keep Unity of Pompano thriving, even though right now we are not open for any rentals or many of the outside business income that we had. So thank you for continuing to uplift us with your love and your prayers and attendance at our classes. So I believe that's all we have going on this week. There will be continued on and on as we go throughout this pandemic. No matter how long it lasts, we're here with you. So now is the time to think about each other. Just close your eyes and envision all of the people in our congregation, those that have come up from down south towards Hollywood and Davie and into Fort Lauderdale, and those who come from the north and those who come out from the west. We just see all of you, and we're glad you're here. So let's think of each other as the band leads us.
Stand. There's a cross for you to bear, things to go through if you're going anywhere. Stand for the things you know are right. It's the truth that the truth makes them so uptight. Stand, all the things you want are real. No need.
So very pleased to have the opportunity to share the Daily Word today for June 28th, believe that or not. The word for today is will. Spiritual understanding guides my will. Each day I use my will to make decisions, big and small, that affect the quality and the direction of my life. Through the use of my human will, I may make choices out of fear or sense of lack, or I may be driven by my desire for convenience, comfort, or the pleasures of the moment. The use of my spiritual will, however, directs my choices toward the greater awareness of my divine nature. As I grow spiritually, I use my will to shine my Christ light even more brightly. I grow in willingness to co-create with God as I release my willfulness to do anything on my own. As I live more intentionally from my divinity, the light of spiritual understanding dawns within me and directs my will. And from Joshua chapter 1, I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
And right now, we'd like to begin a time of prayer and meditation by singing In This Very Room.
I invite you now, wherever you may be, to find that very comfortable and familiar position for your body. And I would invite you to activate your will even now. Our affirmation this morning was, spiritual understanding guides my will. I encourage you to make the choice to feel the feelings that support your spiritual direction, to think the thoughts that support your spiritual direction, and give your body permission to settle into that decision. And as we enter into the stillness, allow those spiritual thoughts, those spiritual feelings, that spiritual will activated to guide your experience. And as you give your body that permission to relax, to let go, to let be, your body will immediately move its focus from the outer to the inner. And as you give your mind that same permission, your mind begins to settle into that stillness as well, in the presence, in the pure being of spirit. With body at ease and mind at ease, your awareness then is free to commune with spirit. And as your awareness sinks into that very deep of your heart, you find that connection with spirit there very quickly, very easily. And as you settle even more deeply, you may feel that you are being breathed, that you are being thought, that you are being felt. We are indeed, though separated by distance, united in spirit. We are indeed one in spirit. And though we have individual experiences of this time in the stillness, we are all still enveloped in the same stillness, in that same presence. Now, having so prepared ourselves, let us go together into the stillness. And now, as you prepare to move your awareness back to your body, back to the time and space that you occupy, you know that even an instant during which your awareness is immersed in that deep of your heart, that healing and transformation take place. And you know that you can bring with you into your body, your mind, your heart, the essence of this experience together in the stillness. And in this coming week, as you choose to or need to, you can recall this experience and be blessed and lifted up once again. So with a deep sense of gratitude for this experience together, I invite you to take a deep, slow breath in through your nose. Hold it for a moment. Exhale slowly, deliberately through your mouth. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and we will sing together, Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
So we just want everyone to take a deep breath and prepare yourself because we're about to get funky.
Yeah, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well,
That was almost too much fun. Thank you, band. Oh, my. I often have the vision of standing up in front of Murphy Creek Baptist Church, where I grew up, saying, we're going to do Bob Dylan's, you're going to have to serve somebody this morning and see what would happen. I remembered that one of my sister Baptist churches had an incredible pianist. He was a very closeted gay man who gave gospel piano a brand new meaning. He was an incredible piano player. And the church has had a little spinet upright piano. And one day he got to church and somebody had bolted a sheet of plywood on the back of the piano to discourage his honky-tonk piano playing. So we are right at home in unity, and we love this music. We appreciate so much all consistently the quality that is presented to us, James. Thank you, and all the band. Yes. Well, I've mentioned to you several times over the last month and a half Aldous Huxley's book, The Perennial Philosophy. In this classic book, Huxley brings up questions and issues and ideas that come up over and over and over again, generation after generation after generation. And I pulled one of the chapters out to share with you today, or at least the idea of it, and that is the idea of good and evil. Now, having supposedly 20 minutes or so to speak about this huge topic is just a little bit challenging. I have imagined about three different sets of six-week classes to deal with these issues, but we'll see what I can do in the next few minutes that are coming. But when we look at good and evil, first of all, if you look back in the history of humankind's attempts to understand and to catalog, if you will, what good and evil is all about, it was done from an anthropomorphic position. That is, we gave good and evil human form. We, in a sense, we created good and evil in our own image. As much the Bible says we were committed and created in God's image, we have created our images of good and evil in our own image. Now, to begin with God or begin with good, we assign that quality to God. And as John, if you'll put up that first slide there, you'll see this painting that was done in the early Renaissance period. And during this time, God is often portrayed as slightly elderly, sometimes quite muscular, and long hair and a long beard. And that's what God is supposed to be, and that's what represents the good. And God is over here being good and exuding goodness as he was attributed to. But then we have the other side, which is evil. And we have a slide for that too. The devil is always red, and very often the bottom half of his body is that of a goat, and sometimes he has horns, almost always has horns, and a pitchfork in his hand, and a long pointed tail. We've seen that image over and over again. That's good, John. So we find God being the good and Satan being the evil in conflict with one another. And this has been an ongoing battle ever since humankind created these images and this idea of good and evil. Good and evil constantly battling one another over and over and over again. Now, when there's an insidious part of that is that we as humankind are caught in the middle between these two warring factions. And we often see this image of an idea of a good angel on one shoulder and a bad angel on the other shoulder. Or God on one side and Satan on the other, whispering in our ears, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. And we're caught in this ongoing battle of good versus evil and evil versus good, seeing who can achieve supremacy. Okay, John, thanks. Well, this goes on and on and on, all down through history. And we've looked at it in different ways, but there's a whole movement, especially in traditional Christianity, that maintains this idea to this day. That God is this being, this white male, and Satan is this demon, this devil, being red and always seems to be a male as well, which some women would agree that was probably appropriate. But we have these two things going at each other all the time. Now, there are a couple of problems with this scenario of having God is good, Satan is evil, and them battling each other to see who can come out on top of things. Well, then philosophers and theologians have brought this up very often, but if you start looking at it, you have to wonder, why is it like this? Why is there a devil? Why is there evil in the first place? Because if God is omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient, why doesn't God just say like that and make evil be gone? Well, if God can do that and doesn't do it, that brings up some issues. Because we find this situation of being stuck between good and evil, battling each other, just a little bit uncomfortable for us. And humankind has something of a victim in the middle of this. So if God has the ability to change this and doesn't, you have to question that. You have to wonder what is going on. There must be some purpose for us being stuck in this situation, but I've never heard an adequate explanation of why that's happening. So that's problematic a little bit. If God can do something about it and doesn't do something about it, that's an issue. The other side of that is, if God can't do anything about it, then God must not be omnipotent, all-powerful. If God can't change it and the battle goes on and we're not sure how the battle's going to end up, even though the Bible says in the end, way out in the future somewhere that we can't really describe, that good's going to overcome evil. That evil, the devil, the Satan's going to be thrown into the pit and the door's going to be locked and the key's going to be thrown away. Well, that doesn't do us a whole lot of good right now. So if God can't change it, that is a problem for us as well. And both of these situations of God being able to change it and not changing it and being unable to change it, both of those bear a 6 weeks class all by itself. So again, we're touching the very, very, very tip of the iceberg concerning this situation. So where we have been in our thoughts, in our beliefs, in our systems down through the years is a person of good, which is God, a personal evil, which is Satan, and they're going at it and we're caught in the middle. Now, new thought came along and began to look at this a little bit differently because the personalities were removed in a sense. No longer was good represented by a human-like God, but good was a principle. Good was a presence. Good was an energy, an influence in the world. And the same thing with Satan, the anthropomorphic Satan of being this being that we can draw pictures of was kind of faded into the background, and evil became a presence in the world, an energy, an influence in the world. And there's still interaction between these two things, but it wasn't like before where you could picture two warriors going at each other and us being stuck in the middle. So we begin to think about good and evil as being present in the world, but not as pervasive and not as aggressive as it was before. We're still engaged in that, and as human beings, we still have the opportunity to choose, am I going to pay attention to the good, which is that energy, that presence in the world, or am I going to pay attention to evil, which is that presence in the world as well? Which way am I going to go? So there was a trend toward personal responsibility and personal awareness rather than being a victim completely caught in this battle between good and evil, between God and Satan. We find ourselves in the place where we have something to say about this. We have a bit to contribute to which way things are going to go, which situation, whether good or evil, is going to get the attention from humankind. And that made things a little better for us. It's a little easier to swallow theologically and philosophically that we would be in this kind of situation. But there's another step that we can take, which is quite interesting. What if there is no good and evil? That's one of the things we often say in Unity, is there is no evil as such, as an entity independent and opposing God. What if this matter of good and evil is all about consciousness, our consciousness? And I've said for years, and I've learned to be careful who I say this to, but if every human being would withdraw every thought, every feeling of evil, evil would disappear. We have created the idea of evil. We have created the presence of evil, and we sustain it and maintain it. The only way those things out in the world that we call evil can exist is if we support them. Because evil lives only off of our own energy. There's a wonderful story, I think it was written in the 40s. It's called The Devil and Daniel Webster. And the story goes that the devil, you know, Daniel Webster was this great orator, thus the Webster's Dictionary. He was known for his great speeches and his eloquence and his power. So the devil challenged Daniel Webster to a debate. And as the two of them began to debate, Daniel Webster pulled out all of his tools, and he got stronger and he got more powerful. And he realized that the more powerful he was, the more powerful Satan got. The more eloquent he got, the more eloquent Satan got. And he realized that Satan was feeding off his own energy. And he changed his approach, and he backed up and he won the debate. And I think that, I mean, that's a story. But I think it makes a point for us to realize that if evil is powerful in the world, it is because we are powerfully supporting it. If evil is strong in the world, it is because there is a strong energy behind it, feeding it, fueling it, encouraging it. And when we as human beings hold in our consciousness thoughts and feelings and actions of hate and fear and bitterness and resentment, that feeds what is out in the world. First of all, it creates that evil presence out in the world, but then it feeds it. It continues to keep it going. So when somebody hates and we hate them back, what's happening? We're simply maintaining that hate in the world. When someone threatens you and you threaten back, you just simply reinforce that out in the world. So could it be that the presence of evil is our creation, and it exists within our consciousness? And the same thing, and this is where it gets a little sticky for us, the same thing could be said for good. I imagine the Creator expressing us into this reality, and I think that I've said this over and over to you, and I believe this about you as well as myself. I am God being Lawrence. There is a mystery here such that God has created a consciousness called Lawrence and has put Lawrence in the world, and there is a seeming independence of that consciousness where I can think, I'm free to think anything I want to think, and that consciousness, which is really the presence of God, can even question the existence of God. Now understand that I don't know how this mystery works, how this miracle works, but that's the way I see things now. So God has created us, put us in the world, and said, go play, go do something. Any of you remember that as a kid being told, go outside and play. Go build a castle in the sandbox. Go make something. My folks were really good about keeping me busy with my hands. Do you remember any of you remember Lincoln Logs? You have to be a little older than some of you are to remember that. But they were little pieces of wood cut out like logs, and you build log cabins and houses and things like that. I built some weird stuff with Lincoln Logs. You'd think you'd have to build just a little square cabin, but I did some funky stuff with it. But I also had the set of building blocks. They were little white brick-like things. They were the precursors to Legos. They weren't quite as sophisticated as Legos, just plain white plastic, like bricks, and you built things out of it. And again, I built some weird stuff with that too. And then there were the Tinker Toys. Remember the little colored rods with the little wheels, and you stuck things in there? What got really interesting, if you take all of those and dump them in a big pile and then build something out of that. So when my mother said, go build something, go do something, I didn't have any problem doing that at all. But I imagine the Creator putting us in this place with the consciousness that we have and setting us on our way and so go do something, go make something. And when we were given those instructions, what we did is we went out and we created good and evil. We created this duality, this contrast where there's conflict and there are things going on all the time. Because let's face it, conflict is juicy and sexy and fun. That's why people have asked me, why is it so much easier to be in tension than it is to be at peace? Because peacefulness is not exciting. Peacefulness doesn't get your juices flowing like tension and stress do. And we get addicted to those feelings. And we kind of like them in spite of what it cost us. But we go out into the world and we create this good, what we call good and what we call evil. And you realize if you think about it for very long at all, that both of those things are highly subjective. What I call good, you may not think good is that way at all. I mean, we take food, get two or three people together and start talking about food. When somebody says, boy, I love this, the other two go, ew, that's the most horrible thing I've ever heard of. Try mayonnaise on vanilla wafers sometime. Yeah, I know. It's wonderful, believe it or not. I could go on, but you get the point. What I call good, you call evil. And vice versa. So we realize that what we have created in this world is very subjective. And there's nothing really standard about it. But To me, what happens when we will at least embrace the possibility of this scenario being accurate, that we have been put in the world and given the privilege and given the freedom to create, and we have created good and we have created evil. To me, that is incredibly empowering. Because if that is the case, then I can turn my thoughts and my feelings and my actions toward what I consider to be good. And I can withdraw my thoughts and my feelings and my actions from that which I consider to be evil. And when enough of us do that, we're going to see evil begin to disappear and shrink and move away. We have that power. We have that authority. Now, it's so much easier to look out there and say, oh, the good's over there. And the evil is over there and I'm here and I don't have to worry about that. A lot easier to do that than to say, wow, I see evil in the world. What can I do about it? We hear about genocide going on in some third world country. And we just kind of shake our heads and say, oh, that's terrible. What can I do about that? How am I involved in that evil that's over there? Well, I read one time, it was a book on quantum physics, that you can go out in the middle of the ocean and drop a BB in the middle of the ocean, and on a quantum level, every molecule of water in the ocean is affected by that. I mean, if an asteroid the size of South America hit in the middle of the ocean, to tell you that every molecule was affected by that, you wouldn't have any problem believing that. But a BB, that tiny little thing, but on a quantum level, on a molecular level, that affects everything that is there. And if that is true, then I live in this quantum world, and every thought that I think, every feeling that I hold, every action that I take on a molecular, on a quantum level affects the whole of the world. That's a little scary. That gets close to home because I have some responsibility for what's going on in the world. I also have the opportunity to be part of the good that's going on in the world. That certainly is encouraging. So the energy that I pull away from the things that I consider evil, I then can put into that which I consider good. And that makes me a player in everything that's going on in the world. So back to the example, what can I do about the genocide that's on the other side of the world? What do I do? Do I hate those people who are perpetuating that? You think that helps? That simply feeds the evil. Am I afraid that something like that might happen to somebody I care about or some even our own country? Well, when I feel that fear, I'm reinforcing it. I'm putting my energy on a quantum level into that situation. So having the authority, having the power that I have, I can be very deliberate to say, yes, I recognize that which I call evil that is there, but I'm not going to hate those people. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to acknowledge that that's going on. Those people are operating at the highest point of consciousness they have in the moment, and that can change as possible. So I'm going to withdraw my connection with that. I'm going to withdraw my engagement by taking away my fear, taking away my anger, and I'm going to put that in the side of good. I'm going to move that energy over to the things that I consider good, and I'm going to live that way in my life. That, I think, is empowering. That, I think, is encouraging. That helps me to get up in the morning knowing that everything I think and feel and do in this day can minimize the evil in the world and can reinforce and magnify the good that is in the world. So as you hear somebody talking about good and evil, or somebody says good or somebody says evil, watch what pops up in your head, because there's still those images floating around. There's still people, even in unity, because I hear the language that people use. And I don't want to pick on anybody that I've heard talking, but how often have you heard people in unity saying, God, He? That's that same, that pops up, that same image of the great big grandfather in the sky every time we attribute maleness to God. It's hanging around there, and even though you probably don't think that all the time, just using the word reinforces it. It brings up that image. So when you speak about good, when you speak about evil, what comes to mind? Do you see a little red guy running around out there sticking people with a pitchfork when you hear evil? Or do you see or imagine or feel a presence in the world of good and evil? Or are you able to embrace the possibility that that good and that evil is my creation? And it's what we have done together. And what we have done together, we can undone together. What we have created together, we can uncreate together. We are in a place in our technology now where we can create poison that cannot be made unpoisonous. We can create radioactivity that we cannot make, at this stage anyway, unradioactive. So there are some things like that in this world that we can create that we can't uncreate. And it's not easy, but all the good in the world, all the evil in the world, we have created, and we are responsible. And keep in mind that word responsible is made up of response able. It doesn't mean you've got a weight tied around your neck and you're obligated now. Being responsible means that you are able to respond. We are responsible for the good and the evil in the world because we can respond to it. We created it, we sustain it, and we can alter it. And especially when we do it together. There's a principle in science and physics called synergy. And on a very, very simple level, it means that if I can pick up 100 pounds, you can pick up 100 pounds. Together, we can pick up what? You'd think, well, do the math, 200 pounds. But because of synergy, when those two energies come together, we can pick up together more than what we can do individually. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. So when we start working on this idea of good and evil, when one of us is doing it, on a quantum level, there is an effect. There is, I believe fully, that every thought I think, every feeling I have, every action that I take on that quantum level has an effect. But what happens when two of us do that? What happens when two of us withdraw our energy from the evil and put that energy into the good? It's multiplied. It's not just what I do plus what you do. It's multiplied. Beyond that, what happens when four of us do it? It's not just doubled. It multiplies in a synergistic way. And on it goes. What happens if 1,000 of us do it? They've done these studies. I don't have all the specifics in my head, but they've done studies about prayer. They've gone to major cities and picked out the worst, most crime-ridden places in the city and had people to pray for that. And it's documented scientifically. It's a bona fide study. That crime decreases during that time that people are praying for that area. And when they stop praying, it goes back up again. So when we get together and multiply, what happens when 1,000 of us do this? What happens when 5,000 of us do this? What happens when 10,000? And there's some people that have studied this who say that it only takes 2% of the population to change the mind and the energy to permanently change a situation. 2% of the whole population. So if we will accept the possibility that we have created good and evil, that we sustain good and evil, and that we can do something about it, that is incredibly empowering and encouraging for us to be able to do that. So in this coming week, I encourage you again, as you hear good or you think about good, what comes to mind? Is it that old image of the grandfather in the sky? Is it that sense of a presence in the world? Or is there a sense of, hey, this is my creation, this is our creation? When you think about evil, do you see the devil running around with a pitchfork? Or you just have that presence, that influence, that energy in the world? Or do you say, hey, that is our creation, we made that and we're sustaining it, and I'm not going to do that anymore? It's the choice that we have. I thought that the daily word for today was so very appropriate to the sermon at hand. Each day I use my will to make decisions, big and small, that affect the quality and direction of my life. Through the use of my human will, I may make choices out of fear or a sense of lack, or I may be driven by my desire for convenience, comfort, or the pleasures of the moment. The use of my spiritual will, however, directs my choices toward a greater awareness of my divine nature. As I grow spiritually, I use my will to shine my Christ light even more brightly. I grow in willingness to co-create with God as I release my willfulness to do everything on my own. As I live more intentionally from my divinity, the light of spiritual understanding dawns within me and directs my will. Spiritual understanding guides my will. So I invite you to take all that you learn spiritually as you pray, as you meditate, as you study, as you share with one another. Take all of that energy and put it into the world, bringing back from evil and putting it into good, and let us change the world together. God bless you.
So, can we be response able? Can we look at what's there and decide who we're going to serve. You got to serve somebody, right? So who are you going to be today? And what are you going to serve? We talk all at this time of giving now that we are able to respond with pleasantness or firmness in a kind way. And let us go about our day with smiles underneath our mask. Let us wear masks. We don't have the right to possibly infect other people. So let's do what we can to all of us go by the rules that are there, by the science that is helping us come out of this pandemic. And let us go about with joy and response able to act on our intentions of good and being good to each other. And speaking of serving, we love it that you serve us with your prayers, with your attention, with your finances. So won't you consider giving to us, those who are continued shopping. We have a lot of online shopping now, so please choose smile.amazon.com. We get a small portion of that. And if you will also think of ways to give. Right now, you can, if you're on the website or if you're on Facebook, you can go to the website. There's a donate button. Just press on that. And you can give one time or you can set up a recurring gift. You can use your bank, Bill Pay, to send us a recurring gift or a one-time gift at no cost to you whatsoever. And there's even a number to text that you can use your smartphone to text in a gift. And always, you can mail your gift to the church address, which is on the website. So we thank you for all the many ways you give. We have a Good Is Mine blessing that will show on the screen, I believe, if you are on live stream. And if you're on Facebook, many of you know it. We can say it together. We can think it together. As we go into this time, not focusing on lack, but focusing on the good. Good is mine. Good and more good is mine. Everywhere I go, I see this good. I feel it. I experience it. And I've forgotten all of it, but I freely give it, and it multiplies itself around me. Thank you so much for your giving.
We got this song from a woman called Monica Pasquale. This is called You Can't Kill Light.
Sometimes we fight. You can knock us down, but you can't kill light. You can't kill light. You can't kill light. We built a railroad we
And so we send you off with that today. You can't kill our light, and we can't kill love. So let's keep that in mind as we choose who we're going to be in each and every day. So as we leave today, and we leave you with our unity blessing that many of you know, and if not, keep tuning in, you'll soon learn it. The light of God surrounds us, the love of, the new way. We add in the I am, don't we? Let's start over. The light of God surrounds us. Well, I am too. The love of God enfolds us. We are the love of God. The power of God protects us. We are the power of God. The presence of God watches over us. We are the presence of God. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.